I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Laurie takes a beat. As opposed to like lying on the beach and just swimming and things, it can be creative. I like to pretend that I'm being creative when I'm lying on the beach. Why? It makes me laugh. It makes me feel like I can change things. It means something different almost every day because I'm what you'd call a multimedia artist. Some days I'm working on music. Some days I'm working on animatronics or just fixing computers. That's one of the big new jobs that I've gotten as an artist. In terms of what it actually means, I don't really know. The most exciting art I see is things that redefine it. And you kind of go, is that art? I'm not sure. I like it when it's just not so clear if it's art or politics or something else. I probably trust laughter more than anything that goes through my mind. If I'm really am laughing, I'm thinking there's something here that is physical as well as mental. And then she laughs, proving my point. The thing that lingered, at least for me, was the other part of her answer. She makes things because it makes her feel like she can change things. It's a world where we grapple all the time with our insignificance, where things happen around us and to us. Being creative in whatever form is proof that we can leave an imprint on our surroundings, that we can make a mark on time. Even her expansion of the definition of art into politics or something else stays faithful to this idea of creativity. When we make something, we make something different. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday morning, and we have a very special guest in the house. Mm-hmm. It's the homie Brandon Collins, who you guys may know from Medium Popcorn. You guys may know him also from Drunk Black History, because it's Black History Month. Black History.
Yes.
What's going on, Brandon?
How y'all doing? Thank you for having me on the Lord's Day on your blessed podcast. I appreciate it all the time. Also appreciate the fact that I didn't have to butcher any rap lyrics this episode.
But
thank you very much for that, Rob.
I guess that is another benefit of us switching to the Reading Rainbow segment, is that now people can come on and they don't have to feel intimidated of messing up some rap lyrics. So I'm glad that I'm glad that it helped out. That excerpt I was reading is from Creative Quest, which is Questlove's book that I just finished. That chapter is about like creativity and just like different forms it takes. And that was an interview that he watched, on some German TV show. Cause he's just always, apparently he just watches a bunch of weird shit. It's called Why Are You Creative is the name of the show. And it's a German director named Hermann Vosk. And he asked a whole bunch of artists, like, why are you creative? All that stuff. And so, he was interviewing, what's her name? It's like Laurie, I don't want to fuck up her name. But yeah.
Is she an actress?
No, she's an artist. Laurie Anderson.
Okay.
Yeah. So he interviews Laurie Anderson to ask her, like, why are you creative? And, the thing that stuck out to me, and I think it kind of goes to podcasting and what we do too, is that you kind of do make something because in a way you do believe you can change the world a little bit, you know, like you're creating this thing that wasn't there before and hoping it goes out into the universe. And to a certain extent, you know, while I might not expect a podcast to change the world or anything, I do kind of want the world to experience something different than just, you know, every other podcast that was invented before mine. And I think everyone that creates something, like whether it's a blog, whether it's music, whether it's comedy or whatever, you're trying to put something out into the world in a way to change what's, at least to change what's available to the people coming after you that want to hear, that might want to hear what you have to say about shit rather than, you know, the last however many people. I just thought it was kind of dope. And it kind of puts art in an optimistic point of view of, you know, cause I call myself a realist, but I feel like, you know, creating something and creating art is optimistic. It is hopeful, even if, you know, even if you don't think of it that way. Cause why, like, cause if not, you wouldn't create anything. You'd be like, well, fuck it. Definitely. This is the way shit is. So I appreciated that perspective.
Yeah. And I think when you're optimistic like that, and like you just make art to, like, you know, express yourself, but also to like engage with people that like maybe are, you know, feel like they don't have a voice or want to hear a unique take on something. I think that that's where you find success. Like, you may not be driving towards like financial success or anything like that, but it just comes because that's something that you're that's where your gift is as like a podcaster, as an artist. Whereas these days, like, this is kind of the reason why, like, I've been stepping back from stand-up comedy. Like, the homie JL and I were talking about this yesterday. There's a lot of white comedians these days that are like, you know, the industry didn't give me nothing, so I did it by myself. And it's like, but motherfucker, you on the Comedy Central YouTube
right
page. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you got back, you like, you're rep by William Morris. What are you talking about? Like, so it's just like this weird, like, you know, white comedians that are kind of like in this weird haze where they're like, you know, I'm trying to put this content out because, you know, people should just want it. It's like, no, but you should like really care about what you're putting out there and feel like you're changing the world. Like, you're not just talking about fucking baskets at, you know, Whole Foods or like how your mama won't give you money anymore. Right. Like, that's not important.
Yeah.
No one cares about that.
Karen, were you about to say something?
I'm about to say, you know, and when it comes to creating things, it varies from person to person. I know for me, I haven't done it in a long time, but Roger had bought me a sewing machine many, many years ago. Oh. And with the sewing machine, it was my quote-unquote creative spot. And when I mean my creative spot, when you are creative and you actually get in your quote-unquote, I know for me in my creative zone, it was a place of freedom. Like, I can't speak for anybody else. It was a place where my mind could just go free, and any and everything that hit it, I could exercise it in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it didn't make sense, even if I didn't have all the pieces, I could kind of throw it out there and see where it went. And sometimes it was shitty and sometimes it was bad, but it allowed me to grow. And the thing about being a creative, you have to allow yourself to fail. But kind of piggybacking what Brandon said, everybody wants to come out perfect and nobody wants to fail. But that's not a part of being a creative. Creatives have to fail. And the thing about failing is sometimes we talk about how creatives were before their time. Because you have some people, they think so far out that they fail at their time. And then years later, people go, oh, that was good. But that person had to put it out there in order for somebody else to see it later on to be like, this isn't as bad as people thought it was.
Yeah. And with something like sewing, you could, like, the optimism in that and exploring your creativity. And also, like, if you give it to somebody, the change you're putting in the world might just be how they feel about it. Like, oh man, you made me this sweater or whatever, like that. Like, that might be the change, that feeling that you're giving somebody that's kind of an intangible thing. And then go piggybacking on what Brandon said, I was thinking how even with him doing Drunk Black History, even with him doing Niggas Spoiling Movies, Medium Popcorn, that's essentially you're really putting out something into the world in hopes of changing that conversation or providing like another perspective that people typically wouldn't get, you know? So,
bro, it's been crazy. And I gotta like attribute a lot of this to you guys, like for supporting us, like supporting every project I've been doing, like especially Medium Popcorn, because, you know, like, you know, talking about failure, like, the thing is, like, with Media Popcorn, like, with Kara's talking about, I just say whatever, as if you can't tell that when you listen to that. But I remember, like, I was really down when we got, like, a lot of negative response about the Ghostbusters episode, right? Because it was, like, I effed up on the booking side. We effed up on, like, not really controlling our guests, like, and not telling them what the show was. And so I remember, Ryan, you hit me up and I was like, yo, this is like really bothered me. Like, hey man, don't take down the episode. Like, it happens sometimes. Just like keep going. And I think that that's also like what made me realize that people care enough about the show to get mad at us about when we did fuck up. Mm-hmm. And for me, that there's a lot of value in that. But I mean, yeah, it's just crazy where we're at now. Like, we had a Rotten Tomatoes rep who has to listen to our episodes to transcribe them for the website. And he literally emailed me the other day because he's listened to some backlog episodes. Yeah. And he wrote an email that just said this quote from the episode. It just says, open your balls and put on your talls. Sheesh. I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, Justin, Rotten Tomatoes. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah, well, you know what's wild about that too is, cause Karen brought up failure, and, failure is a part of, creativity. It's an essential part because
yes, it is.
If you don't fail, then you really don't have like this balance. And then the other thing Quest writes about, and I'll read this another time cause I definitely saved this shit, but he talks about how failure is freeing.
It is.
He was like, because failure helps you go back to the drawing board. It also gives you like motivation to continue. And it also helps you get back to yourself. Because one thing people don't talk about with success is that you kind of become an amalgamation of all these people's thoughts and opinions about you. Like you're all these different people's versions of who they think you are, because they've all kind of adopted you into them, right? But nobody really wants to be a part of failure. Right? So when an artist fails, they go back to being Kanye West. You know what I mean? Like, before that, it's like Kanye is representing for me, and I wore polos in college too, and I dropped out. You know, but then when he starts having whack albums, it's like, you know, Kanye tripping. I don't know what the fuck this nigga doing. And that's kind of a freedom that he gained from that, from getting to be himself again. So I thought that was kind of a deep way to look at it. And of course, you know, the motivation to want to be successful again can push you as well. So
And also, I think for me, when it comes to creativity, one thing I love about it is that it's a blank slate, which means you're actually, like y'all said, taking nothing and making something. You can make it any color you want. You can do anything you want. If you can imagine it, it can happen. And most adults, once they become adults, they get out of that spot in their life. You know, children can take anything and make a toy. Like children's imaginations are like crazy wild. Most adults' imaginations are not, because as they get older, they shut that shit down because they think it's childish. They should get into the world. A lot of it's beat and stripped out of them and their surroundings and shit like that, or people not actually believing and pushing their dreams for various different reasons. Sometimes valid, sometimes it's for protection. I understand that. But the downside is that a lot of people, like these hit kid shows, that parents are like, oh my gosh, this song is driving me fucking crazy. An adult had to create that. No children is creating these shit. An adult had to create it. So to get into, and they had to tap into their childhood to be like, hey, this is shit that children like. Like all this shit your baby sings and bops and dops to. An adult had to get into that creative spot. And I think that a lot of adults don't respect creativity, because me and Rice talked about this before. There's no quote unquote price tag you can put on creativity. But I know if you work 8 hours a day and do a PTS report, I know how much to pay you. There's certain things where if you do these things, this equals this. But with creativity, there's no dollar sign to it.
You know what's interesting though? It's about how you define creativity.
Correct.
Because if you're thinking of creativity as art, then maybe there isn't as much respect for it until, you know, typically there's tremendous respect once somebody comes along and co-signs it and is successful, right? Like, you know, you're not going to find too many people that are like, Radiohead, fuck them. Like, now they're so successful that they have passed that point. But like that starting point, when you're a child, listen.
Kid what? I don't know. Teach his own.
Something computer, dirty computer, filthy computer. I don't know. Whenever you start out, right? In stand up, when it's a bringer show, when you're, trying to like go to open mics, there's a lot less respect for what the fuck you're doing. And and honestly, you're starting out normally and you're trying to get good. But then there's also a point where you are getting kind of good, but maybe you don't have the respect to your peers. So you are still doing the open mics. You are still doing the smaller shows. You are still doing bringer shit. And you may have been getting good. It's going to take that cosign. It's going to take that thing, right? And so in this case, creativity also applies to like the people who made Alexa. The people who made Siri.
Right.
Someone had to think of that shit. All the shit that happens on your iPhone, that at one point a cell phone was a brick. You know what I mean? So like everyone had to think of this shit. We respect that kind of creativity because there's money attached to it.
Right.
So like when there's profitability attached to creativity, it's easy to be like, oh yeah. Fucking the guy Steve Jobs is a fucking genius. You know what I mean? Because all this money.
It also
money.
Makes life easier too. Like we also respect creativity that can like makes us more convenient.
Yes, absolutely. So I think it definitely like can be. It's weird to push those urges out of a child, knowing that once it's out in the world, how many creative people do we ultimately respect and maybe to a certain extent deify? You know, for their creativity and the fact that they looked at this thing differently, or they did this show in a way no one had done it before. They made all this fucking money. We're all running around like Beyonce's the greatest, but you know, what if she would have had parents that was like, girl, you can sing on the side, but what you need to be doing is getting these grades up. we would have been robbed of a Beyonce possibly. So
she clearly never got her grades up. I mean, I love Beyonce to death, but there's a reason why she don't do too many interviews.
I disagree. Guys, the views of Brandon Collins is not representative of the Blackout Tips. This, you guys, Medium Popcorn and Drunk Black History are two very problematic shows that we no longer associate with as of right now. Well, it's been fun, Brandon. Thank you for coming, man. Good catching. Oh, okay. He's back. We got the connection back, guys. I don't know what was happening.
Remember, Beyonce is Candyman, though. Yeah. That is a theory that I support.
That would be dope. So all right, guys, we're you know, the Blackout Tips, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all that shit. Leave us feedback, leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We appreciate those, we read them if they're nice on the feedback show every Saturday. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
what about
a bullet ball extreme. And like I said, today's guest is Brandon Collins. What's going on with Drunk Black History, man? It's Black History Month, which is one of my favorite months of the year.
Every month is Black History Month, though.
Come on through.
Let's be real. But it's a show that Gordon Baker Bowen and I started last year. We both had kind of a similar idea, and so we just kind of like teamed up because we really enjoyed working together on Medium Popcorn when Justin was away in Finland, like, you know, raising his kid. And so we filmed some few videos. And then we had a live show in Long Island City at this place called Creek in the Cave, which is also where Tatiana and I got married. It's like a small, you know, performance space in Long Island City. It was dope. And, you know, we were just experimenting. We didn't know if anyone was going to come out to this thing. It was a packed house. And we're like, oh shit, this actually might be something. So then we did a Juneteenth episode, a Juneteenth showcase in June. And that was packed out on a Wednesday night. Like, people wore suits. Like, we had so much fun. Everyone got really, really drunk, which was crazy. And it was just a lot of fun. So we're just going to keep doing it. We did want to do like more shows throughout the year. So we were thinking about doing like a Halloween one where we talked about the horrors of Jim Crow, but then we thought that might be too intense.
Yeah, it might be.
With some alcohol, maybe some weed. Right. So we're like, let's revisit this. Once we had to figure out the formula, and we were going to do a Kwanzaa one, but then like that was going to be too close to Christmas, February. So we're right. we're going to space them out, make sure the shows are high quality. And that's what this new one is at Caveat on the Lower East Side. We're essentially trying to tackle all the boroughs in New York. So like the first one was in Queens. The second one was in Brooklyn. This one's in Manhattan. Our dream one for Juneteenth would be in Harlem. Of course, the Apollo Theater has like side theaters that we really want to try to like get into. So we're like aiming for that in June. For Kwanzaa, we would probably do like, either the Bronx or God forbid Staten Island, but we have to do it. But that's like our goal, is to do it at every borough in New York City and then eventually start branching out and do it in different states and stuff.
And when is the next one?
Like what time? Saturday, February 29th, Lower East Side, Caveat, 21A Clinton Street. You can get tickets at AmericanCollins.com.
All right, cool, man.
It's gonna be so dope.
So what's with your, like one thing I did wanted to, kind of to ask you is, have y'all considered making it like a podcast as well or something, you know, to go along with that aspect of it for people that might not be there live, but want to hear like what it's about. And then also for people that want to attend like the next one, they kind of know what they're getting into.
Yeah, we've been thinking about that a lot. We're just going to see, like, we're kind of just focusing on this show right now. And, like, we still got another video with the homie Jim Sturch that's going to come out within the next week or so, where he talks about Ice-T and the legacy of Ice-T. And so between, like, the videos and the live show, like, we are planning on doing some kind of podcast. But everything I do, like, has to be, like, I have a very high standard now after, you know, Comedy Outliers and now Medium Popcorn. By the way, Medium Popcorn, we're getting a new mixer that's going to have a lot of sound drops. And that's going to get, this show's about to get really crazy. It's going to get fucking nuts.
We know that feeling. We played with ours when we first got it. We was putting all the fart sounds out there.
It's definitely in the cards. It's just like, you know, making sure that we have a good plan, making sure we book like the right guests and that we talk about a lot of people that, we think people need to hear about in history. As well as like just balancing that out with like our day jobs, as well as like other projects we have going on. That's but it's dope. Definitely in the works.
Well, I hope it continues to be successful, man. Same. Cause I think One, we just did a show at the library in Charlotte where we talked mm-hmm. about Black history.
Yeah, that congrats.
Was fun.
Thank you. And it was a good time, and also just talking about like Black history in general is like really important. And it's also like kind of interesting because a lot of shit you just don't learn in school. You know, like it's very sanitized. What learning in school is very much like, and then the Negroes let everyone beat them, and they were happy slaves. They were happy slaves and shit like that. And then like, and then you kind of need an outside of school type of education, or else you grow up thinking that Black history is just pain, suffering. There's nothing.
Nobody fought back.
Yeah, there's nothing, and there's nothing inspirational about it. And I think it kind of ends up with generations of people. Yeah. That are like scared of Black history, or mm-hmm. like they think it's like terrible and boring, and or it's the same 13 people over and over.
That was me.
Or we just don't know our own history. Like right. That's like for me, like being like growing up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, like I was one out of like maybe three Black kids in like my grade. And I actually had a whole LinkedIn post about this yesterday. Cause our show got featured like as one of the best shows to go see in New York City for Black History Month. And I was like, yo, all they talked about was either Rosa, Martin, Malcolm, and randomly Prince sometimes. Like right. That would be it.
Right.
And it's like, but it'd only be for like a few days. It wouldn't even be for a whole damn month. It'd just be like, now let's go back and talk about some random Roman time shit. It's like, what? Like,
yeah, it was like,
it's almost like, you know, teachers would skip over like that part of history because they didn't know how to talk about positive stuff.
And
they would only talk about the oppression in general and things like that.
They'd be like, it's Black History Month, so that means we need Black History book reports or whatever. And then think about it. That means you really don't learn Black history. You're learning the book reports, which you're getting like maybe a week of book reports or something. So they really reduced 28 days down to like 5. Right off the bat, because they're like, we're not teaching this every day, but we're gonna have you guys read about it and come in and tell everybody else about it. And essentially, our work is done here. We'll show a couple replays of Eyes on the Prize or something, and then you guys have a good day.
And also, maybe this is just me, a lot of that is laziness. We actually don't want to do the work, so we actually going to push the work on the children because we know like children are actually going to limit their studying. Like you let a child pick, a child is going to be like, well, what is the easiest shit I could possibly do?
Right.
Versus an adult is like, hey, I'm going to show y'all. Yes, it was quote unquote sad, but sadness is a part of life. Like children are not stupid. You can actually talk and express yourself to children in a way where children can pick up, but most adults don't know how to deal with it. So it's like,
well, they're teachers, they know how to do it, they just do it for the other stuff.
I mean
you know what I mean?
I mean it's the thing where a lot of particularly white teachers don't know how to actually, and some Black teachers don't know how to talk about race, period.
Right.
So when I don't know how to talk about race, period, I'm not gonna touch Black history because you have to get into racism. Like mm-hmm. that's the part I'm talking about. You have to get in it. So I don't wanna touch it at all. So what I'll do is that I'll skip the part where I'm supposed to do my job and I'll push it and I allocate that up to the children.
Right.
This is interesting. I think this is what frustrates me. Oh, sorry.
I was just gonna say, it's just interesting because like none of them niggas was alive for like the Revolutionary War, but they don't, you know, they have no problem transporting us back in time and telling us about all the great causes and shit and the Boston Tea Party and when I, you know, Columbus sailing to America, they don't mind telling us about that shit. But it's like they clam up, they get a little tight, they get a little harder to, it's a little harder to explain when it's like, and Columbus was chopping off indigenous people's hands. It's like, we don't remember that part. Anyway, 1492. I'm sorry, Brandon, what were you gonna say?
No, I was just going to say, I think that's what frustrates me about, like, corporate America. I think that if you look at, like, a lot of companies during this month, they always get, like, a random Black speaker to come to the company to talk about, you know, what Black folks are doing in their industry. Or, like, even for myself, my company tries to get me to do, like, random events, like, during this month. And I'm like, we don't do any of this stuff at all throughout the year, nor do y'all really invest in diversity and inclusion. So I'm going to pass on that one. Like, and I think the lack of awareness is what frustrates me sometimes. Like, you know, you guys talked about teachers being like kind of aware, but you know, it's crazy the kind of ignorance that a lot of people have. And these are people that are so-called liberals that are like, you know, I'm fighting for the cause. It's like, no, because you're just offending me more and more.
Right. Yeah. Right. And also, it's one of those things too where once you quote unquote get into the workforce, most jobs either do what your job doing or we just work. Like, we don't talk about, but February is like a blip on the radar. February is like the rest of the year. We don't talk about anything black. We don't do anything. Like, we don't even quote unquote acknowledge it. Because the thing is, once you start acknowledging it, all of a sudden you will have a lot of these white people that are uncomfortable just come out the woodworks, even though you're trying to teach everybody. They would actually complain and shit like that. So they was like, before we deal with the hurt white feelings of us talking about anything outside of whiteness, we'll just say, fuck it, we're not talking about none of you.
Yeah, that's a lot of tokenism, you know. Because, you know, a lot of times, like Brandon said, this is the only time you're bringing someone black in to speak about anything, right, let alone race. And why would that only be relegated to one day out of 1 year, out of 1 month, you know, like,
in the shortest month.
Right. This is wild that's something that, is so normalized. All right. Let's get into, some of these hot topics, guys. All right. The news has been happening. Apparently Snoop Dogg, apologized to Gayle. Now he apologized before, but this time he apologized again, because the first apology wasn't really an apology. It was really just him being like, hey, don't kill her. What I look like saying kill this woman.
Which, hey, don't kill her. That's my apology.
Yeah. You're like, I know I said we're going to see you in the streets and called you out your name. I'm not going to apologize for calling you a dog-headed bitch or anything like that. But I will say I don't want her to die, because, you know, then I'll have to go on trial for murder again. And I don't, not a big fan of double murder, double homicide trial.
And, yo, Oprah came out. He was like, yo, I don't want that smoke.
Yeah, I heard, like, a lot of people was like, I've heard it both ways, where people was like, yeah, he had to apologize because, like, Oprah said he had to apologize. And then I've heard people be like, well, when the fuck has anyone ever had to apologize to a black woman in order to keep their career? And I don't know which to believe, because I kind of do feel like Oprah is big enough that you can't just be like, yeah.
And ignore her.
Yeah, that he could have just kept riding on that shit. I feel like Oprah don't count as just your quote-unquote normal black woman for you to be, you know, going against her within the industry. I feel like Oprah can shut your shit down. Like, I was looking at TV the other day and I saw Snoop Dogg in like a Doritos commercial. I was like, yeah, this nigga had to apologize, because there's no way Doritos want to be associated with that shit. And, you know,
right.
Oprah yeah. Good enough to organize some people and be like, nah, we calling all the sponsors.
Ring, ring, Doritos. Yeah.
VH1, take down that Martha Stewart Snoop show.
Right.
Come on, Martha Stewart.
He gonna be cooking in my kitchen.
Come on, Martha Stewart's like, look, I know what it's like to be a convicted villain. I mean, sorry.
Felon.
My fault. I said villain. Felon.
Convicted villain.
Well, he is a convicted villain.
What, is he going
villain.
To Arkham?
My bad.
Snoop Dogg is a convicted villain, though, after you said that shit.
My bad.
Here's a clip of him apologizing. Wait, is it going to play now? It's like it was starting to play. Damn, I really want to play this, because this is the best. Like, Snoop Dogg never looks more like an old-ass uncle than on these phones.
So with that being said, Gayle King,
I publicly tore you down by coming at you in a derogatory manner based off of emotions and me being angry at questions that you asked.
Overreacted.
I should have handled it way different than that. I was raised way better than that. So I would like to apologize to you publicly for the language that I used and calling you out of your name and just being disrespectful. I didn't mean for it to be like that. I was just expressing myself for a friend that wasn't here to defend himself.
A lot of people look up to me
and they love me and they appreciate me, so I want to let them know that anytime you mess, it's okay to fix it. It's okay to man up and say that you're wrong. I apologize. Hopefully we can sit down and talk privately. Have a good day.
Okay, so just talk privately after all this. Cool, you know, no problem. Gayle King did accept the apology, by the way, for everybody worried about that. It was funny because I've watched people go back and forth over this shit, where it went from like, Gayle King need to apologize for asking that fucked up question, and then Snoop Dogg went too far and it was like, Snoop Dogg need to apologize to Gayle King, and then he did, and then it was like, Gayle King need to apologize for asking that fucked up question still, and I wouldn't accept Snoop's apology and all this shit, and then she accepted the apology. It's like all these agendas are all over the place, but
no one's ever gonna be happy. No matter what the outcome is, people are always going to have something to complain about. And I think that's the bullshit that we're just in. for some reason in society. Like, no one, you can't appease anybody. Right. And there's no one's going to have universal appeal anymore. Correct. Like, even Birds of Prey, great movie. People still like, but, you know, it didn't have this character or this art from the comics. Like, what did you expect? It's just a fun movie. Just go and have fun.
Right.
Nothing has to have an agenda all the time.
She said, I accept the apology and understand the raw emotions caused by this tragic loss. As a journalist, it is sometimes challenging to balance doing my job with the emotions and feelings during difficult times. I don't always get it perfect, but I'm constantly striving to do it with compassion and integrity. One of the things I find interesting, though, in all this, at no point are people really going to do anything to Snoop Dogg.
Mm-mm.
Like, there was no real threat to him other than Oprah being like, dog, what the fuck are you doing? You got my friend hiring security and shit. At that point, people was like, yeah, Snoop was tripping. That he took it too far, you know? But it's kind of funny because Snoop would have been able to skate by to a certain extent with a lot of people that were offended by the Gayle King question.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one. There's a huge mm-hmm. percentage of people out there that was like, no, she shouldn't answer. She
right.
shouldn't ask.
But I'm saying, like, for them to be so much about, this is about, you know, decorum. This is about being polite, asking the right questions. It's about blah, blah, blah. For them to be that way, what he did was very much not about decorum. It was not about manners. It was not about any of the shit they claimed Gayle King needed to live by.
Right.
They were excusing Snoop Dogg. Well, he was emotional. You know, he lost a friend. All that shit. So it's like, that shit really only counted for that black woman. That shit didn't count for nobody else about mm-hmm. needing to fall in line and act the right way and all this shit. You know, we let a dude that essentially been calling women bitches and hoes his whole life call this woman a bitch, and went, yeah, it's fine, you know? So, thought that was interesting.
He had the same anger towards her that he did for Bill O'Reilly, which was, like, fucking weird. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I think that that's, like, he probably had a bad batch of weed or something like that. He was all in his feelings. Because he just didn't read the room right for, like, you know, the situation he put himself and Gayle in.
Well, you know what I think is funny is people were talking like Snoop before Snoop did that. And I think Snoop is just too big to do what a lot of these, you know,
normal people,
regular people were doing on Twitter and all that shit. They were saying a lot of the same shit about, mm-hmm. you know, how, you know,
but they're not losing no endorsements of what they're saying or yeah. threatened of losing endorsements.
Yeah. I think Snoop was just too big to do what he probably saw everybody on Instagram doing. I mean, shit, if you're on Facebook, man, if you follow any of these news outlets, sometimes I do this just to see what the people are talking about, and the comment section on the Gayle King shit was filthy.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it was a men and women, by the way, not just men versus women. It was a lot of women also calling that woman out of her name, accusing her of not caring about white men who commit sexual assault, only caring about black men, her, Oprah, blah, blah. So, like, it was pretty bad, man. You just don't know these days, man. Like, that's one I was glad to stay out of online. You guys remember the group 112?
Mm-hmm. Tell me what you wanna do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the lyrics I know. Y'all know I'm not good with lyrics. I don't want to keep butchering. Them, so.
My song was Cupid. I like that one.
Yes.
Mm. But Q, the lead from 112, mm-hmm. He responds to Mace and Diddy conflict. Says, I'm in the same boat. So Mace accused Puff Daddy of not sharing his royalties or whatever, like not letting him buy back his masters after all these years, not even for $2 million. Diddy had just did this long ass speech at the Grammys demanding better treatment for black artists, and so then Q and Mace was like, we black artists and you gave us terrible treatment. So yeah, he said he made a suggestion to young artists about signing contracts without full knowledge of what you're signing, and even admitted that legally speaking, Diddy did nothing wrong in regards to signing 112 or Mace because the contracts they signed were pretty standard in the industry back in the 90s. But ultimately, Q wants out of his bad boy deal as well. He's just opting to take a less public approach than Mace. So he's still in a bad boy deal after all this time?
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's still bad boy deals. I thought that shit closed up or got absorbed by something else.
Damn. Mm.
Why is everyone coming out about contracts from 20 years ago? Like, yo, we all saw the TLC story. None of y'all had good lawyers. Just, like, just deal with it at this point. Diddy's still going to be dancing. He like, oh, they filed another lawsuit? Okay. He don't give a fuck. He's in suits and running clothing lines in Ciroc. He's fine.
Yeah, and also I think it's one of those things where, in their minds, you can't be a hypocrite. You can't put the camera in your face and talk about, we all need to be taken care of. They were like, nigga, you didn't take care of us. But they was like, that's how the contract, they was like, we don't know how the contract was. You can still fix this if you choose to, but odds are he doesn't care.
Yeah, that's such a weird, fucking thing that's happening, because it's like, I get.
That's like Babs coming out.
Say what?
That's like Babs from the band coming out, being like, right. No, we didn't have a good deal. It's like, yeah, you were forced to make an album in a week.
Right. Yeah, it's no, not going to be a good deal. Yeah, it's just weird that it's happening now, but I guess it's like that thing where, like, if you are a woman who was, like, sexually harassed by a movie star, and then you see him wearing a Me Too pendant at the Oscars,
you're going to feel a certain way.
That's when you're going to be like, well, hold up now. And I think that's what happened with Diddy. He's out here giving a speech about treating artists fairly. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, all these artists are like, wait a minute. I don't know about this shit. 112, Mace.
Yeah, they was like, we were fine until you actually started talking about fair treatment.
Yeah, Black Rob came on stage, was like, whoa, calm down. I want my deal looked at, okay? Shine went to prison. I mean, I can see why these people feel a certain way.
Prison became a Muslim, right?
Jesse Smollett. Yeah.
I mean, you know, one thing I will give Diddy, though, because a lot of people, you know, they talk bad about Diddy, but one thing I do have to give him credit for, that dude has led a lot of people to find a religion. Okay? Mace, Craig Mack, Sean, like, he really, like, after Diddy do you wrong, man, you go find Jesus or some version of Jesus or something. Like, it's kind of amazing. It's kind of uncanny. Another thing that happened this week, you guys know Jussie Smollett is being indicted again.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Mm-hmm. Independent prosecutor, they got him.
Yeah. So they talking about it on the real. And,
is back in the news.
Amanda Seals has something to say. Hold on. Let me
yesterday,
get
after an investigation by special prosecutor Dan Webb, Jussie was indicted by a grand jury on 6 felony charges, which include filing false police reports and staging a hate crime. This is now the second time that Jussie's been indicted. Last year, a grand jury indicted him on 16 counts. However, those charges ended up being dropped. And even though no new evidence has been presented in regards to Jussie's innocence, which he has always maintained. I mean, we've talked about this multiple times on the show. Jussie will be arraigned on February 24th, you guys. And he faces up to 3 years in prison. He's going away
for a while, y'all.
3 years. Man, he fucked the wrong police, man.
Yeah, they was like, you gonna pay.
Yep, he gonna be saying, you're so beautiful in the cafeteria all day.
Oh, no.
You think when they put him in the room for interrogation, they was just like, tell the truth. Tell the truth.
They be singing all his hits.
But yeah,
dropped the 16 charges and she's up for re-election in 30 days. So I think this is more about her.
Yeah, I think this is more of a case between the county of Cook and Kim Fox, because they were pissed that those charges were dropped. When she did drop the charges, there was a lot of controversy.
And I agree. I think this is what it's coming down to. Kim Fox was like,
yeah, and Jussie just has to be collateral damage. Right.
And there's that too.
So then Amanda Seals, I'm trying to get to the part where she goes off about it. Cause it's kind of that Snoop Dogg thing where people might be agreeing one way or whatever, feeling a way, and then somebody always takes it too far. That's what happened here.
Why aren't they bringing charges against the two brothers?
Well, I think
why aren't they bringing charges against all the white people that call the cops for BS every single day?
Then there's that too. The whole issue.
Every single day.
So the only thing I just want to avoid is that this has to be laid to rest, because we cannot put a culture out there. It becomes harder for us to believe victims that this has really happened.
It's not about, I'm telling y'all, Chicago politics is ruthless, okay? I'm telling you, this is more about Kim Fox and that situation than Jussie. Just using Jussie as a scare. Come on, y'all. It was no victims. They can't really prove it.
Thank you.
Everything was
even if it was a hoax. Even if it was a hoax, this is really happening all the time. And even if it was a hoax for the sake of bringing attention to this, then I'm like, that's low key noble. Like, I'm just,
no,
I'm at whisk.
This is not noble.
Low key noble.
There's nothing noble about this. He could have gave a speech. It'd be noble.
Even low key noble. That's some Terrence Howard talking point. Mm-mm. Hey, Cookie, mm-mm. Cookie, come here, come here. There's a low key noble over here.
She had to take it one step too far.
Right.
She was getting all that applause. It got to her head. She's like, you know, I'm gonna push a little bit more. Low key noble. That's what it was.
He really a hero for bringing attention to this shit with a fake hoax, dog. Yeah, I mean,
like,
shit.
Martin Luther King and Malcolm X doing it for the people.
Right. Oh, like, how far does this logic extend? What else can you falsely accuse somebody of? That's like saying the woman that accused somebody of sexual assault and we find out it's not true. Well, it's kind of noble for her to bring attention to sexual assault. I was like, nah, that's, I don't think so. I know we don't fuck with the cops like that, but
right.
This is a huge waste of resources, especially because of the fact that he is famous.
Right.
Like, that's a huge waste of resources, and we still don't know why he necessarily did this shit. But if it's because, you know, if any of those rumors are true about wanting to hire profile or being written off of that show and stuff, that's terrible. And the whole, then remember how right after it happened he was going around being like, I'm the gay Tupac and shit, like, dog, that's a bad look. Like, I don't know, man, this shit where you gotta be so woke, you gotta be stupid for motherfuckers, like, that's not okay.
No, that's not.
Yeah. You know, people was mad that folks made jokes about him. Like, this shit is funny.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, he said that there's MAGA dudes in Chi-Town who knew him from Empire. Like, what are you talking about?
Right, at 3 a.m. after getting Subway or whatever in fucking 10 degree weather. Like, dog, it was like, at some point you either gotta laugh about it or you gotta just be like, I'm willingly being stupid about this shit, cause I just don't get this reaction.
And about us centering situations like this and wanting to make people have to pay. And it's like, Emmett Till's accuser was alive.
Oh, no.
I think she's still alive.
Emmett Till gonna always
be the go-to, ain't it? I know his family like, God damn, y'all, like, come on.
Anybody, anytime.
So she's dead, right?
Nah, she alive.
I thought she like revealed everything on her deathbed.
Nah, she revealed everything like 2 years ago, I think, and she still, well, at that point she was alive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's still alive.
Yeah.
She wasn't like sick
that
or dying.
Wild.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
She compared this to Emmett Till.
Dog. Every,
imagine being all the bullshit.
Do you know how many black men have done something and been Emmett Till in the wake of it? Like, it's so weird to think about everything we use that boy's name for. Right. LeVar Ball was telling a white woman to stay in your lane and yelling over her on TV. And like Charlamagne was like, you know, this is Emmett Till, okay? This is what happens when these white women be accusing black men. I'm like, Emmett Till was an innocent black kid who whistled at a white woman, or whistled, and they said it was about a white woman, and they killed this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Dog, I don't think we can make everything Emmett Till. You can't be like, I was at Whole Foods and the person in line skipped me going in the line, Emmett Till. I'm calling Emmett Till on this. Like, nah.
Like a big joker.
Yeah, you can't just, like, we're wasting the Emmett Till card, okay?
Right.
Good grief. let me finish this up. But yeah, because of Emmett Till. Guys, got it.
Yes.
And this young man died, and she announced that she was lying about it. They should have put the shackles on her that day. And she's walking around. So, no one was hurt in this situation. Nobody, you know what they're mad about? Their time. Their resources being used.
Hold up. Are we shitting on the idea of police resources and police time being misused? Like, so then are we even mad about the other people that are falsely accused people of shit? Cause it started with, how come white people get the falsely accused and waste the police time and nothing happens to them? It's like, you know what? That's a great point. Something should be happening to them. Yeah, but I think nothing should be happening to black people who do it. Wait a minute. Is it bad or is it not bad? Oh man. Anyway.
She just confused. She got her grandmother's wallpaper on. She don't know what's happening.
That dude likes some good curtains.
Man. Anyway. She's an amazing person. I was waiting for her to finally go.
I gotta start watching The Real again, though. These women are beautiful.
Oh, that, I was gonna say, I was really waiting for her to go Meghan McCain on the show, because I feel like
that's why they bought over there.
They got her there for these viral moments, mm-hmm. and I feel like this was the first moment that really went viral.
The first
with her.
Of many.
No, and I think they'll continue to do so because it, then also in the next part she said this is only happening to him because he's black and he's gay, and that's, I'm like, I don't think is the story like the cops went out and framed Jussie Smollett, like framed him for framing himself, like what is happening to reality, right. in this situation, like he did something that was actually kind of fucked up, like that it's okay now. Do I want to see him go to prison for it and shit? Not really. But also, I do understand why the cops would be mad, not just mm-hmm. on some, because we hate black people mm-hmm. and we hate gay people.
Y'all
they might,
are wasting our resources. We could have took this effort and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, they might, and not just that, but he was in the papers and shit implying, like, they racist, they don't want to fucking investigate this.
They're corrupt, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, he just fed into the issues that the community already has. Like, it's just, he just went too far, and he's just going to have to deal with this. It's just...
Yeah, I get why they don't want to drop it, and I also get the whole idea of why, like, Kim Fox is like, we should drop it. Cause to me, it is sunk cost, right? Like, you already wasted resources. You're not gonna get them back by continuing to try to pursue this dude. It's pretty much known in the public this motherfucker was lying. That, like, what else can y'all get from this? He know he ain't really gonna go to prison. You know what I mean? Like, he gonna get a good lawyer and shit. So, you know, even if y'all get a conviction, they gonna get.
Know?
You don't think he's gonna get a good...
Is he making that kind of money still? I mean, Empire's out. He ain't making royalties no more. I know he didn't make that much from the Alien movie. Like, come on. Like, what does he really get?
He probably got enough that he doesn't need a public defender. And that's all you really need to not
somebody
go to prison.
A step above the public defender.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna go to prison, dog. Yeah. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I would be shocked if he went to prison.
He may get something, but you know, house arrest, you know, something like
that. I think it's because also
they're working at Subway, you know, so he
mm-hmm. and that might be part of the punishment.
He gonna do community service at Subway. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about no one 3, thinks about
3 a.m shift?
No one thinks about Subway in this. Yo, Subway should make him the new spokesperson. Like, this food good enough to get
Jared the Juicy.
I leave my house at 3 a.m. to get Subway. That's how fucking good this shit is. Okay, I took that sandwich with me.
I fake a crime to get in the Subway.
Let's see what else is happening in the news, guys. You guys
what
know
kind of sandwich you got?
I'm gonna go with meatball, because that's Karen's favorite.
That's my personal favorite.
And 3 a.m. and 10-degree weather, you need something hot. You need a hot sub. You're not leaving your house
you need
for a turkey club.
Oven roasted chicken with some chipotle sauce.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
like that. One of the warm ones.
You need something that's gonna be like steams coming off of it as your friends are beating you up on the platform in front of the camera.
Can't be eating nothing cold out there.
Open
eat
post.
Fresh, nigga. Just beat him in the street.
Eat fresh and hot. They do breakfast too now. Who knows? You could have been doing breakfast.
Maya, apparently, people were like, she put a post on Instagram with pictures of her and stuff. People was like, Maya got married, the singer. She got married over the weekend.
Okay.
But the picture of the groom wasn't there. So everybody's like, wow, she really she kept her man secret all these years. We've been thinking she was single. She's 40 years old now. She get married. Like, who's the dude? Turns out Maya married herself.
Brandon Collins.
Yeah, she married Brandon Collins, guys. That's what it is. Tati, there's some news if you're listening to this later.
All right. Try to break it to you.
But yeah, she secretly married herself.
Okay.
We can agree that she's plumb crazy, right? You can't be Maya and, like, there's no way no one on this god earth, like, will do anything to get with her. And to give her everything she wants. Like, I know right now, I would take out a loan. To find Maya.
You know what? You want to know
right now, man, how much y'all gonna give me?
But what's interesting, though, I can't say she's crazy necessarily. Cause I've never heard Maya talk about anything. I was just thinking about this now.
She's
like
in a blank slate. She just sings and just going about.
She's on a VH1 show with all the people on the boat with Lil' Kim.
Okay, so I and no clip is going viral of her saying some crazy shit. Like, it's crazy. Like, if you think about how long she's had a career, how much, you know, people worship her for her looks and just ability to just not age. It's wild that we don't have like any indication of her quote-unquote crazy. You know what I mean? Like, there's no thing that's happening where we're like, yo, remember when Maya, like, I don't know, poured grits on Ja Rule or some shit? Like, we don't have
no
moment.
She did do that Rugrats song with Blackstreet. So that could make anyone go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that was a dope song, though.
It was. Take me there. I'm just trying to, like, give some evidence.
Yes!
The Rugrats soundtracks. Don't sleep on it.
That was pop. It was weird when Mace came out, the little Reptar toy, and started rapping. I was like, oh, this got weird.
Yeah.
Real quick.
and then Puff Daddy took all the money and left. He was like, bye.
Oh.
He's like, Mace is like, where my money at, Puff? But yeah, so people have been talking about the photo or whatever, but she posted on Instagram, because, she married herself, I guess. She said, thank you for all the beautiful messages and happy V-Day. She captioned the image, officially Mrs. Lansky. So is Maya's last name been Lansky all this time?
Yeah, show you how much I know. I didn't know that was her last name.
She then dropped a new song called The Truth on Friday. The imagery featured the 40-year-old singer marrying herself in an intimate ceremony. Oh, so it's all promotion for a video. Maya, who was born Maya Marie Harrison, has been linked to NFL star Deshaun Jackson and former NFL player Larry Johnson. She hasn't dated anyone publicly since breaking up with the rappers Jay-Z in the Game. Damn, that was a long time ago. Jesus.
Many years ago.
Okay, so it's all promotion for a song of her marrying herself. What is the Mrs. Lansky thing came from? Or is she thanking someone named Mrs. Lansky? The person took the picture or something? I don't know what that means.
No.
Anyway.
It's some serial shit.
Yeah, good luck, man, to her. You know, I figure if you want to marry yourself, that's fine. Now, what I think that changes for me, though, is if I was dating Maya, I would feel like there's no pressure to propose, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're already in a relationship, girl. Yeah. I'm just a mistress.
I'm the sad piece.
You technically cheating on yourself right now, okay? Now, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do about this, but, you know, if you check your own phone, I think you're going to see text messages from me. A snake orgy prompts partial closure of a Florida city park.
Oh.
Now we know why they had to get out of the Garden of Eden. Okay.
Ain't that the plot of Anaconda 2?
I think so.
Wait, isn't that what they were like trying to get them all to procreate?
How many snakes was in there? And how do you know it's an orgy going on? They just slithering on top
of
each other.
Okay, you know when an orgy's going on.
Mm-hmm. You can hear the moans and the slitherings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a bunch of snakes.
I think no matter what the species is, if you walk in a room and there's an orgy going on, you're going to know when it's going on.
mm-hmm.
So I think it was pretty self-evident that the snake was getting down. You know, they already kind of, you know, slithery and sexy and all that stuff. So,
you know how we know that this is happening, though? The people that speak partial tongue, they're the ones that are able to decipher all the sex going on. That's a Harry Potter reference for y'all.
Yeah.
I'm a Slytherin, so that's how I roll. I know a lot about snakes.
Oh, they were slithering in a lot over there, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think you know when you open up the door to the snake orgy and you hear...
What you doing? This is Draco Malfoy's best favorite song.
When you fall into that pit in Temple of Doom, and the snakes is down there, but they listening to this.
Okay,
like I think this might be a snake orgy. Sorry, y'all. Wrong room.
I need to leave. I meant to hit the door on the left.
Stay. Y'all know about Usher. That's why you always got the body oil so the snakes can just roll around them like a paper towel.
Oh, man. But yeah.
And you're going to hear one going, what's up, man?
The city of Florida closed off a part of a park after residents spotted dozens of snakes which had apparently gathered for their annual coupling. Is it a coupling when there's dozens of snakes?
I think that's more than a coupling.
Yeah, that's more than a coupling.
Mm-hmm. This is a swingers club after a while.
Right. It appears that they have congregated for mating.
I'm about to say marrying. I didn't know they did that too.
No, they're not Maya at the beach, okay?
Was Maya there? Right.
The city of Lakeland Parks and Recreational Department said on Facebook with a photo of one of the serpents seen in the park. Just one of the serpents? I mean, y'all ain't give us none of that sweet, sweet snake orgy action?
I mean, y'all caught him out there with his pants down. I don't understand. How do you know what's happening with just one?
Go to snake.com and they,
he's like, oh, you caught me with my dick out. What?
It would have been so funny though if the park was actually fucking Universal Studios and the Harry Potter world. They're like, man, they took this really far.
Right. I'll say this, guys, they don't spare any expense on the snake budget. The officials on Thursday sealed off an area with the amorous reptiles had to gather for their pre-Valentine's Day tryst with caution tape. This is for the protection of the public and the snakes. They are non-venomous and generally not aggressive as long as people do not disturb them. Once the mating is over, they should go their separate ways. Wow, that's really sad that they don't stick around and hang out.
It's like snake tender. It's fine.
Okay. Well, you know what? I just think the problem with a lot of these snakes is that we don't have snake fathers in the family. So I hate to see that they go in their separate ways.
How do they let everybody know where to spot at? Do you send the flare up? Do you, how does everybody know this is the spot we're going to meet up at?
Maybe they got a snake version of Tinder or something.
Snake GPS. I mean, y'all, you let me know.
Snake Facebook group. Snake.
I don't know.
It's called Slender.
Yeah. Oh, the
snakesmeetup.com. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's fun.
Black Snake Moan is what we're hearing.
That's a good one too.
Christina Ricci in the middle of it.
The slippery customers were identified as harmless native Florida water snakes. They are generally found resting in tree limbs over water or basking on shorelines.
What?
They are an important part of the ecosystem and should not be disturbed, the department said. So yeah, there you guys go. They said resident Tim Newberry, whose Facebook photos of snakes in the park alerted city authorities, because he's a freak. He told the news he saw about 25 that day.
Ooh.
He just be going to the park filming snake orgies and shit. Word.
Yo. He's just an innocent bystander just watching and shit. He took a picture in Nebraska like, you a creep.
Right. He had his hand in his pants. That's the part. They didn't tell you the part where he had his hands in his shorts, okay? They didn't want to tell you that.
I couldn't even imagine you getting there. You got one, two, three. Hey, why does door keep opening? What's happening over there?
He's over there eating a fucking McChicken and sitting on the park filming snakes. Oh God, look at that.
You're like,
one.
Sir, what's your name? It's like Voldemort. Right. Like, what? What's happening?
Wrong name.
Man, she constricting the shit out this nigga. Oh my God. All right,
what's wrong with you?
Let's move into our other segments, guys, okay? I think that's all the pertinent news that's really. Oh wait, I did forget about this because I don't really care that much, but apparently Bloomberg is moving up in the polls and shit, and he got new ads. Mm-hmm. One of his ads, I saw it today, it looked like Barack Obama is endorsing him, when it's just him and Barack Obama worked together on gun control. Like he was one of the few Republicans that crossed the aisle to like try to get something done for gun control. And so he cut the ad that makes it look like Barack Obama and him is real tight.
You said,
didn't there just come out some news that he was talking shit about Obama, saying that he's the reason why we're so divided because of his presidency?
Yep.
Like, I hate everything that this dude's doing, and it's working though.
Yeah.
That's what's terrifying me. It's like it's legit showing how gullible like audiences are to just like believe what they see in the ad and be like, oh, he's not that bad. I would consider voting for him. It's like, yeah. No, read.
Yeah, me and Roger brought this up yesterday, and I do believe this. I think that black people are like, fuck Trump. Oh, you say fuck Trump too? We are in agreement. Like, that's cool. But also, as wild as it may sound, I think that a lot of people are, which we know this, they aren't civically aware. So, New York City and the state of New York, most everything happened there is kind of public, but I'm amazed at how many people don't know, or either they just don't care. I think more people just don't care. I think it's a shock that so many white people are shocked about the stop and frisk shit, because you're like, oh, y'all just didn't care? Like, this nigga been on this shit forever.
It didn't impact them.
Well, I also think that his ads, I don't know if you guys have seen it, these ads are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate to give credit to the man, but these fucking ads, like,
whoever he got chopping,
he got bars.
He got third term in New York for a reason. Yeah. Like, he has a really good marketing team.
And he got bars, dog. Like, he be talking cash shit about Trump. Like, if you, and we know black people disproportionately hate Trump. Like, more than any other thing reason they want to vote in 2020 is fuck Trump. And so if you give me an ad with a motherfucker being like, dog, fuck Trump, and here's a bunch of black people around me, and also don't forget, fuck Trump, I'm actually M Rich, this nigga ain't shit. So like, I think a lot of people that appeals to them, but then more so than that, these people that are supporting him aren't necessarily internet aware. They're not internet savvy.
Right.
They're not on social media. And so I keep seeing everyone share all this shit on social media, Facebook and Twitter. I'm like, the people that are being influenced by television ads,
right,
they're not seeing your tweets.
No, they're not.
So unless somebody
like
else,
to the choir, most people know,
unless somebody else is gonna spend some money saying Mike Bloomberg is lying, this nigga is actually for stop and frisk and blah blah, and it's gonna take like a Tom Steyer or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or somebody like that, who most of them are spending their campaign money on saying why they would be the best presidential candidate.
Correct.
So they're not spending money to be like, fuck Mike Bloomberg. So yeah, I do think that a large part of this goes to his ads, and then the fact that, you know, you can be woke as fuck on Twitter, but if you don't reach people outside of that, who gives a fuck?
Can I ask y'all a question?
Yeah.
I've actually been curious to hear y'all's thought on this. And forgive me if you've already talked about this before. Mm-hmm. But given the fact that so many black people, so many Hispanic people, so many people of color, as well as women, are like, we need anyone but Trump, right? So mm-hmm. I'm expecting turnout to be historic mm-hmm. in November, right? Historic. But you know they're also going to try to oppress people at the polls. They're going to try to negate a lot of people to cancel stuff out. Now, let's say whoever the Democratic nominee does win, right? Do y'all legit think Trump is going to leave?
That he's losing or winning? What do you mean?
Well, so let's say whoever the Democratic nominee is mm-hmm. goes against Trump and wins the election, both popular vote and electoral college. Do you think Trump is going to still leave?
No.
Because I genuinely don't think that they're prepared for him to say, I'm not leaving. The whole thing was rigged. Mm-hmm. I think that he's going, even if it came out on both sides, electoral college and popular vote, he wouldn't leave. If it comes out one or the other, he won't leave. I genuinely think we're going to get to a place in November where everything falls apart, because he's going to be like, fuck it, I'm not leaving.
And I agree. And the reason why I agree, because every fucking thing he has done has said, it has broken the standard norm. It's like, we don't do this. He was like, fuck it. Yeah, we do now. We don't do this. Like, all his shit is, we don't do this. Mm-hmm. He's like, fuck it. We do it now. You know, they continually made exceptions, and nobody in his own party has actually reined him in and be like, you are out of goddamn control. Nobody. So nobody's gonna go in and arrest him and pull him out of office, because that would make the country look fucking terrible. He's gonna stay in office. He's gonna say, I won no matter what happens. He's gonna claim it's all bogus. He's gonna sue. They're gonna fight him tooth and nail. It's gonna be one of them things where, all jokes aside, he might have to die, quote unquote, before we fucking get him out of office, because he's like, I will never leave. Y'all have given me power. I can do what the fuck I want to do. Why would I give up this much power? Why would I give up an open pocketbook? Because at the end of the day, he's driving our country into debt and deficit. Like, it's fucking ridiculous how much we owe, and nobody gives a fuck about it. And so mm-hmm. in my opinion, I could see him fighting his tooth and nail and be like, I won, and his fucking ignorant fucking stupid ass voters would be like, yeah, he won, you know, the man won. It's gonna be fucking chaos.
Yeah, I personally don't know. I don't like predicting shit when it comes to him, because he's unpredictable, and that's the point. So I don't know. I'm not even sure he's losing. So like
that too.
I don't fucking know what'll happen. With all this like voter suppression, and the only people working on it are Stacey Abrams and Barack Obama, and all the other people are just too busy running for president to fucking do anything on the ground in their own states. I'm not 100% sure the motherfucker gonna lose the election in the first place. If he does lose, then we'll get to that. I'm not sure he's even gonna do debates with people. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone keeps talking about,
if he gets swamped in the first debate, he's gonna say, I'm not doing it anymore.
And everyone keeps saying,
if he gets embarrassed, he won't.
Yeah, and everyone keeps saying, like, it's about who can stand on the debate stage and do blah blah blah. I'm like, guys, I hate to tell you guys this. No one can stand on that debate stage and just quote unquote beat him on a fair level, because he's not gonna play fair. Like,
right.
This is an assumption that he's gonna like go by the general rules of decorum for a debate and shit. he's just gonna make jokes and pick on the people for an hour,
right?
And then, and the people that fucking love him will be like, oh my god, he owned the libs tonight. And the people that fucking love the Democrats are gonna shit on whoever was on that stage, because that's what we do. Like, they're never gonna be like, you know what, equally we support our candidate as much as they support Trump. Like, no, they're gonna be people like, well, if he would have said this, why didn't they bring up that, how can he let them say blah blah blah, and not think so if you even get a debate, there's no assurance that any single candidate can win a debate, quote unquote, because you're not playing in the typical terms. He's playing reality show rules on these motherfuckers,
right? And in my personal opinion, a debate is fucking comedy hour for him.
Yeah,
like, it is literally, mm-hmm. I get up here and tell all the jokes and joke about everything. I can get somebody to pull up on you. Like, that's what it's gonna be. And Hillary, you can't have a debate with somebody like that.
Hillary did, I think, two debates with him, maybe three, but I think it was two.
She did three.
Three. Okay, so she did three debates. You look at the coverage at the debates, and the standard they held her to and the standard they held him to are not even.
No,
I
not.
Don't know why anyone expects that not to happen this time. I don't give a fuck if it's Joe Biden. I don't care if it's Bernie Sanders. I don't care if it's Elizabeth Warren. If y'all think the media is gonna be like, well, this time we're gonna get it right in 2020, mm-mm. You're tripping. They're gonna hold the standard of like, well, Bernie didn't know this specific policy took place in 1994, not 1995. And for Trump, they're gonna be like, he didn't shit on himself, guys. So clearly he became president tonight. Tonight is the day Donald Trump became president, not of the United States, of the world, guys. And I gotta give him his credit where it's due. Like, that's what they're gonna do. They're gonna find like the two times he didn't lie and be like, he had a point when he brought up that he has freed three black people. And I think people are just ignoring that, blah blah blah. They're gonna do that. So I'm just prepared for all that shit and trying not to engage motherfuckers on this shit.
Nope.
All right, let's get to our games, guys. All right, I feel like that already counts as round one, because I'm definitely 100 fucked with. But let's do fucking black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's get into it, guys. The first article. Social media wants to know, what kind of mess is this Harriet Tubman card?
Oh no.
One United Bank, the United States' largest black owned bank, is catching a lot of heat over their new Visa debit card featuring Harriet Tubman. Now, as they're looking at the card, it is a picture of Harriet Tubman doing what appears to be the Wakanda salute.
Wakanda forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bank says that's not what it is. They say that is actually the symbol for love in the American Sign Language thing. So they say that's not what it is.
It could be both.
Yeah, well, I mean, why not both?
Yeah, just a good marketing. Just make it both.
Although most people seem to think Tubman is throwing the kind of salute made famous by a blockbuster hit Black Panther, according to the bank, it's a sign or gesture for love. Of course, a lot of people didn't believe there. Didn't believe that. So they weren't buying it. The bank's motives probably came from a good place. The excuse, let's just say Harriet Tubman is probably rolling over in a grave. That's what people are saying. All right, so Karen, 0 to 100.
For me personally?
Yeah, for you personally.
I mean,
no, for all the blacks.
I hate to, you know, be anti-black, but I'm actually not fucked with.
Okay, all right, no problem. What about you, Brandon?
I'm gonna say 25. It's kind of weird, and someone in the chat just wrote like, why was she doing sign language? Yeah, that's kind of like confusing. But if y'all see the Harriet movie, I mean, technically in that movie they posit that she has superpowers, so I can see her doing Wakanda forever because she's you know, with T'Challa. So 25.
Yeah, I give it 25 for the lie. I'm not really bothered by the card. I'm not even really bothered by, once I found out it was a black bank, I really didn't give a fuck, to be honest. I was like, okay, put a bunch of money, put Marvin Gaye on the card. Who cares? But, I am bothered by the fact that they lied and was like, yeah, it's American Sign Language. Like, no, it's not, nigga. That's Wakanda forever. Y'all had this shit in the works for like, they probably had this shit in the works for like a couple of years. Like, remember when Black Panther came out and how it dominated everything until everybody got sick of it? Where it was like 3 or 4 months later, they were doing the BET Awards and they had like 12 Black Panther jokes and everybody was like, God damn, enough with this movie. So I think they just misjudged it. They thought that it was still popping in 2020 and it's not, but I just wish they wouldn't have lied about it. Black model refuses to wear racist monkey ears and lips at a fashion show.
Oh, 100. The hell fuck is this?
An African-American model at a Fashion Institute of Technology runway show said she was pressured to wear bizarre racist accessory like monkey ears and oversized lips. I stood there almost ready to break down, telling the staff that I felt incredibly uncomfortable with having to wear these pieces and that they were clearly racist, said Amy Lefevre, 25. I was told that it was fine to feel uncomfortable for only 45 seconds. Oh, because that's how long it takes to walk the runway.
It's very quick.
Listen, guys,
yeah, it's very quick.
But we're talking less than a minute of you looking like a racist caricature. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, it's gonna be more than 45 seconds of people have with their fucking comments.
Right. Lefevre, who has been modeling for 4 years and appeared on more than 24 catwalks, says she is no stranger to industry bigotry, but had never experienced anything as bad as the Fit Fashion event February 7th. Ooh, during Black History Month. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been worse than that white boy winning that dunk contest last night. I was literally shaking. I could not control my emotions. My whole body was shaking. I've never felt like that in my life, she said. People are struggling too much in 2020 for the promoters not to have vetted and cleared the accessories for the show. Lefevre ultimately walked the runway, but without wearing the ears and red synthetic lips, which came from a sex toy. She stormed out of the event immediately afterwards. Who? What kind of sex toy has these kind of ears, though?
Right. And lips.
Like, the lips, I understand. I've seen blow-up dolls. Mm-hmm. But the ears? Whose fetish is that?
It's very strange.
Yeah. And the ears are like black, y'all. And I don't mean like black, like dark skin or brown. No, they're jet black. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, they're like Mickey Mouse ears.
Correct.
Yeah. The show during the New York Fashion Week was staged in Manhattan's Pier 59 studios and was designed to showcase the work of the 10 alumni from Fit's inaugural Master of the Fine Arts class in fashion design. Yeah, this is crazy. Directed by John Kyle Farmer, a professor and chair of the new MFA fashion design, and produced by Richard Thorne, creative director of British fashion production company Names LDN. So some movers and shakers involved in this one. And they show a picture of someone not black wearing it, and it still
and
looks
she
fucked
looks
up.
Ridiculous.
It looks
terrible.
Stupid.
That's fucking crazy.
Who's what kind of person has this kind of idea? Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
All right. Brandon?
100.
Yeah, I got to give this one 100 as well. This is terrible. And, I mean, it's also terrible because I don't think they were trying to necessarily be racist.
Mm-mm.
I legit think they just didn't even think about the idea of, like, what would this even look like on a black person?
Correct.
But that's what I think people don't understand that fucks with us as black people so much is that we have to constantly think for other people,
mm-hmm,
because they're just not even considering shit like that. Because
mm-hmm,
they probably genuinely didn't think that it's going to be offensive. And then they're like seeing this reaction. They don't know how to process it. They need to know while we're struggling with it and then hope that maybe they have enough empathy to be like, you know what? You don't have to do this.
Yeah.
To get your money. We're still going to pay you, what have you. I'm sure they were like, well, we're not going to pay you, but we understand if you want to leave. That's like the fucked up things that they put people on, the positions they put people in.
Yeah, even like that's one of the things that's funny when people are like, they need to hire a diversity person. I'm always like, well, one, they need to listen to a diversity person. Like,
correct. It's not just hiring them. It's like put mm-hmm them in a place where when they say something, everybody kind of perks up and listens to them. What's the point when you're going to fucking dismiss them anyway? Then go, well, so the black person agreed, and the black person was like, I actually didn't agree. Y'all outvoted me.
And then the other part of it is that you're essentially saying, we'll hire a black person, but then their entire job is to rein in our whiteness. You
right
know? So it's like, who the fuck wants that stressful-ass job of, guys, I called you guys as mean because we can't put monkey lips on a black person and monkey ears. It's just gonna look bad. Wow, are you sure? I mean, we really already bought the monkey lips and ears. Like, yeah, we can't do that.
It's gonna be a marketing nightmare, I'm trying to tell you.
It's gonna look real racist. All right, guys, meeting adjourned.
We know y'all care about money. I'm letting you know this will affect the money.
Tyler, the Creator, may have nabbed his first golden gramophone at the Grammys on Sunday night, but he's juggling pretty mixed feelings about the achievement. The 28-year-old artist had a momentous night at the award show, winning Best Rap Album for Igor after taking the stage for a captivating, energetic performance, and he used his backstage interview as an opportunity to call out the Recording Academy unfair voting process. I'm half and half on it, Tyler said of his initial reaction of scoring his first ever Grammy. On one side, I'm very grateful that what I made could be acknowledged in a world like this, but also it sucks that whatever we, and I mean guys that look like me, do anything that's genre bending, they always put it in rap or urban category. The Earthquake songwriter continued, I don't like that urban word. It's just a politically correct way to say the n-word to me. When I hear that, I'm just like, why can't we be in pop? Although Tyler added that his rap nomination felt like a backhanded compliment, he reiterated that he's still very grateful to be recognized and celebrated, regardless of the fact that he's in a whole different world than what a lot of people are listening to.
That album was flames, and I do understand what he's saying when it comes to the quote-unquote the word urban. Not that it's, you know, equates to nigger, but it's one of those things where they go, well, we don't know what to do with you, you're black or urban. You'd be like, well, I actually finished some of these other categories too, y'all, but they don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah, I feel you too, because I think urban is definitely something that means black in everywhere except Urban Outfitters for some reason. That's the one place where,
well, they do appropriate a lot of urban style, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of white kids, that's why they wear a fucking Doughboy t-shirts out, and I'm like, do you know who that is? Like Ice Cube. I'm like, Ice Cube playing who? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, they definitely don't outfit the urbans, but they will put us on a shirt. Yeah, I do feel them though, because it is something that people do with these white award shows. They kind of relegate you to a subcategory, and it's a catch 22, because on the one hand, if it wasn't for those categories, black people really wouldn't get any awards. But at the same time, it's like, that gives them that excuse to not promote you and elevate you to that next level and recognize your talent. It's like, no, these are white awards, so I hope you weren't thinking you were getting album of the year. That's crazy. Now you can get urban album of the year, sure, no problem. That's your award, you know. And it happens with all the white award shows, you know,
the Oscars, the Emmys,
Golden Globes, everything.
Like the Oscars has that category of like best foreign language film or whatever. It's called something, best international film or something now, but yeah, that used to be the place they put everything that they were like, oh, this is a great movie, but I hope you didn't think you were getting considered for an actual Oscar.
Right,
you know. Until Parasite. I think Parasite's the first ever film to win from that category or something like that. Maybe Roma won too. I can't remember if Roma won, but
Roma didn't win Best Picture though.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, that's the first time
international film to win Best Picture like that.
Right, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Because essentially you've been saying the rest of the entire fucking world that is not speaking English have never had the best film in the world.
Right.
The rest of the entire fucking world every year. It's like, no. Here's your five movies that we call good. Here's the one that we will consider the best. And, all right, guys, go back. Have a nice flight. Yeah. Anyway, Zero Turn. Go ahead, Brandon.
I was going to say, I think that's why a lot of these award shows are losing their relevancy. That's why some of them are having the lowest ratings ever, because they're just not inclusive. They're not representing people anymore. Even like as the country becomes more and more diverse, they're just not catering to that. That's why the Oscars, I just watched the highlights. I didn't like, it was the first time I never actually watched the telecast from front to back, because I'm like, there was way too much diverse, you know, selections this year. And when you have award academy members openly telling Hollywood Reporter, yeah, I didn't watch everything, I just still vote though. It's like, that should be illegal. You should not be allowed to vote for any categories, nominations, nothing. If you have not seen every movie, it can prove that you've seen every movie to be considered. That's when I was like, oh, this is all bullshit, especially with the, what's her name from the Grammys coming out about, you know, the corruption in that industry. It's all fucking crazy.
I agree. Can't complain enough. Okay. 0 to 100 though. I need these ratings. Karen? 100 for Karen. Brandon?
I'm gonna say 90 because we're talking about Grammys, but if it was movies, I would say 100.
Okay, well, that's still 100. We only do intervals of 25. And
hey, listen, don't deny me, Rod.
And 100 for me as well.
This is my show now.
You taking it over? I'm the captain. Look at me. I give it 100 as well, guys. It's pretty terrible. All right, let's move into our last game that we're gonna play. A little bit of Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read all these different from all over the globe and we try to guess the race of the people involved. And of course, everyone playing is racist. Today, we have contestant Karen. And we have Brandon, and of course the chat room plays along. All right, guys, let's get races real quick. A grandma getaway driver. A grandma getaway driver runs over and kills accomplice in a U-Haul on a high-speed chase.
Shit.
A Houston grandmother has run over and killed one of her accomplices with a U-Haul truck while acting as a getaway driver in a high-speed chase after a burglary. The incident occurred early Tuesday morning when Dawana Costera Thomas, a 54-year-old grandmother of seven, pulled up to Sonny's Food Mart in Houston with three accomplices in the truck. This could be a movie, like the grandma heist.
Tyler Perry plays the grandma.
Yes, of course. And I want bad wigs on everyone.
Yep.
We film it in 3 days. The three men she was driving then jumped out of the U-Haul and broke into the store by using bolt cutters to cut out the locks, while Thomas acted as a getaway driver by waiting outside while the men burglarized the inside of Sonny's Food Mart. While inside the store, surveillance footage shows the suspect stealing beer, t-shirts, and smoking paraphernalia. They also tried to break into the ATM inside with bolt cutters, but failed before making off with their loot. An off-duty officer who happened to be at the scene witnessed the burglary and called officers for support as a high-speed chase began. The chase was 25 miles and lasted 26 minutes. Damn, that's a mile a minute. She was moving.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, during the chase, one of the suspects moving vehicle, but was arrested by some pursuing officers. But when the second man tried to do the same thing, you know what that means. She was the one like, I ain't going to prison. And they was like, stop the goddamn car. She was like, no.
You're going to have to jump, bitches.
Right. Don't make me get the popping caps up in here.
You ain't going to take me alive. You better put your right hand over your eye. Like, what?
But when
Tuck and roll.
But when the second man tried to do the same thing, he fell off the U-Haul while clinging to the passenger side mirror, and he ended up being ran over and killed. And when he went under the rear passenger side tire of the truck.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is the thing, set it off for old people.
She really threw him under the bus. Why want to stop? Okay. I don't even think I got it to stop. I think I just turned the volume down. I don't know what happened with Spotify on that one. He ran under the tire and died. He fell off, and this caused a complainant to fall and become run over by the passenger side rear tires, resulting in the death of the complainant. Thomas allegedly has a lengthy criminal history, including charges of robbery, auto theft, and drug convictions. Oh, it's all starting to make sense now, isn't it? They thought they was getting a grandma getaway driver. She turned out to be the hardest thug in the crew.
Come on.
Start revealing her.
Like, are you little niggas down for this? Because I ain't going back.
I'm not going to jail again.
They try to take my leg.
They looked over. She got prison tats and shit. Where the hell these come from?
They've been there the whole time.
Sit your bitch ass down, Jeremy. We going.
I've been covering them up with makeup.
What if she was still talking like a grandma though?
That'd be fucking hilarious.
Sit your bitch ass down, baby. Okay. Here, take one of these Werther's Originals and chew on, just suck on that for a little bit.
Y'all want some sugar plums before we get to going?
Rick probably packed their lunches and shit.
Rich around and give me that AK-47, baby. It's over there in the back by the drugs.
Can you give me that blanket from the back? It's cold up in here. Granny got the cold legs.
I'm gonna turn on the heat, okay? I know we doing 80 in the school zone, but I'm gonna just turn on the heat. Is anybody else chilly in here? At one point, yeah, so they jumped out. He fell off and died. Thomas allegedly has a lengthy criminal record, da da da. Police also believe the grandmother was either drunk or high during the criminal activity. God damn. Woo. Thomas had her first court appearance on Tuesday evening and could be seen wiping away tears as she stood before the judge. She turned back into an old lady again. During the hearing, the public defender asked for $60,000 bond for the felony murder charge and $40,000 for the second charge. The judge ended up settling on $75,000 for each charge. She was also charged with aggravated assault against a public servant after she allegedly struck a police car with the truck while a police officer was inside. Well, she didn't want it to be no mysteries, I guess. This article didn't have a picture of her. I thought it did, but let me see if I can Google a picture of her real quick.
Okay, what's her name again?
Her name is Dewana Corstera Thomas.
Black. I'm going black.
Karen's going with black. I'm gonna see if I can. Okay. What about you, Brandon?
She gangsta black.
Gangsta black. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Goya Granny Hispanic, a 54-year-old great grandma black. black Medea extra black, 7 grandkids at 54. Tyler Perry presents Medea goes on a ratchet tearing heist black. Social Security don't pay shit black. How do you spell Dewana? It's spelled Dewanna, and then her middle name is Corstera, Corstera, and then Thomas. So back to the guesses. Black, her grandkids call her mama and think their mama is their auntie. Oh, the correct answer is black. Most of you got it right. Some of you did get it wrong though. Let me see if I can bring her picture up for you guys to see. Man, she was a real one though. She was like,
yeah, she's smoking weed and running people over.
Yeah, I ain't never going back to jail. Fuck this shit. That's her getting out of the car. Is it showing up yet?
Ooh.
It's coming.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's them pulling her out the car. Cops almost look amused.
This is your Oscar right here, girl.
Yes, Leslie. Come get it. Okay.
If you get Leslie to do this and it's a drama, that could be a awards contender.
That's true.
Crazy story.
If they do it and it's a comedy, I'm definitely going to see it. No.
Oh, yeah. I'm here for the comedy.
Yeah. She looked real sad that things went the way they did. Man, she going to jail forever.
You tell me I hit little Richie when I pulled back the car. I was just having a little doo doo doo.
Big mama, slow down. Doo doo.
Imagine that was his last words. Big mama, no.
And that was it.
Oh man. All right, let's go to the next one, guys. Police capture alleged lingerie thief. Texas lingerie enthusiast facing a felony robbery charge was arrested yesterday and charged with swiping 21 teddies, anal beads, lubricant, and a pair of heels from an adult boutique in Houston.
And a partridge in a pear tree? What the hell is this?
Police charged Jaquan Thompson, 23, with that he boosted the items during a grab and run incident Monday evening at Cat's Boutique, which advertises itself as your premier destination for fashion, fantasy, and fun. Thompson allegedly
apparently this is not Cat Daddy Boutiques.
Thompson allegedly took the lingerie and other items from the checkout counter and bolted from the store with the hot merchandise value at $1,100. Thompson also is accused of stealing one fireman pump from the adult store. Though a criminal complaint sadly offers no further description of what that device is.
Fireman pump? We know what that device is.
Is that a penis pump?
That's my assumption.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Thompson.
I'm trying to get ready.
You want the dick of a fireman? We got the fireman pump.
Thompson was subsequently
caught. What the hell does that mean?
Fireman won't be the only thing sliding down poles tonight.
Come on. You want to shoot like a fireman? We got you covered.
Hose everybody down. Thompson was subsequently collared by Harris County Sheriff's Office deputies who booked him into jail on a misdemeanor theft count. Some of the recovered teddies are seen in above photo. Citing a spate of recent cases, a magistrate judge yesterday declined to set bond for Thompson, who was arrested June 2019 on a felony robbery with bodily injury charge during the alleged commission of that crime, for which Thompson was free on $20,000 bond. He struck the victim, cops said.
Well,
his rap sheet includes prior convictions for criminal trespass, unauthorized use of a vehicle, evading arrest, theft, auto burglary, and criminal mischief. All right, guys, guess the race of Jaquan Thompson.
I'm going black.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going, he needs a lot of lube blood. I actually had a dude who came into when I was working at Ricky's years ago.
What's Ricky's?
I had a dude come in. He bought 7 containers of body lube and then just like paid for it and ran out. He didn't even need a bag. He just left. I was like, somebody definitely in trouble.
What is Ricky's?
Oh, Ricky's is like it's in New York City. It's like a fashion thing. It's got like a lot of hair products and makeup. They usually have the Halloween store like in October and stuff like that. It's like all over the city.
Wow. All right. Calls it Valentine's Day Black. nigga shit. Porch Monkey preparing for Valentine's Day. Black. Trying to get Valentine's Day ready. Black. Only a nigga would do a smash and grabs in a sex store. Black. Freaky nasty with air pump dick. Black. Tar Baby. Pose. Chocolate City. Black. The correct answer is, and everyone got it right, he's black.com. What are you going to do with 21 pieces of lingerie?
I don't know.
I feel like he was going to try to resell it.
I mean, that's an outfit for 3 weeks.
Maybe he's going to wear it.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Jody do that at Baby Boy?
Yeah, that's what I thought. He was going to be like riding around black women's jobs coming out on their lunch break or whatever on a bicycle with a suitcase full of lingerie. Like, y'all need to get sexy for y'all man. Okay, this $1,100 worth of lingerie right here. I'll let it go for $20.
Yeah, look at here, girl. This is Egyptian cotton right here. You need to put that on. Rub your nipples.
Now, I don't know who's gonna buy it from a man with face tattoos, but you don't know what the market is for lingerie, okay?
Apparently, we don't.
All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys. So far, everybody's 2 for 2, except for like one person, so.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, let's see here.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen and Brandon are 2 for 2. But can they go 3 for 3?
Gonna try.
Let's see. Everything's all on the line in the bonus round, guys. A New Jersey church secretary accused of paying for her wedding bills with $561,000 she embezzled.
Woo, that's a lot of money.
A financial secretary of a New Jersey church is accused of embezzling more than $500,000 in parish money to pay her personal bills, including car loans and even her wedding. Tysha D. Smith DeJoseph, 43, of Willingboro, was charged with 13 crimes, including computer criminal activity, tax fraud, theft by deception, second degree theft. Burlington County Prosecutor Scott Kofina told NewJersey.com. In a news release, Kofina said Smith DeJoseph, allegedly stole $561,771 over a five-year period until March 2019 when she was overseeing the finances for St. Paul's Baptist Church in Florence Township. How did no one notice the money was missing? The church secretary paid her bills, including her own wedding, with $561,000 she embezzled. The cops say, according to the release, Smith and Joseph used the money to pay car loans, rent, credit card expenses, satellite television, mobile phone bills, hundreds of online purchases at her wedding at Burlington County venue. Trust. That's all I can say, said St. Paul's pastor Fred Jackson. We as Christians like to believe we're trusting and we put our trust in other people and in God, and sometimes that trust is misplaced. Smith and Joseph filed a fraudulent income tax return in 2017 and did not file at all in 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2018.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah, I guess. She like,
that's how she got caught. That fraudulent one probably would have been slipping if she would have been fine if she had not filed for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam don't play with that tax money.
Jackson says new policies are now in place to prevent a recurrence. Like, what, actually counting the money?
I mean, somebody approving her? Somebody like, hey, you can't just approve it?
Who was their accountant? H&R Block? What were they doing?
I think she was the accountant. Tyshia D. Smith DeJoseph. Guess the race, guys. Karen?
Oh, black.
Karen's going with black. What about you, Brandon?
DeJoseph Black. I mean, come on.
Okay, let's check the DeJoseph. Chat room. DeMary and DeJoseph, apparently. At the church. Can't get credit at David's bridal, black scamming for the Lord, black embezzled, black china, negress got caught because the pastor discovered his take was liked, black. He's like, I noticed my BMW payment was a little late this month, I'm gonna need to look at these numbers. Done fucking up with church's money, black. Done fucked up with the church's money, black. Black, young black, and fine enough to distract the deacons, covered in scamming blood of Jesus.
Oh,
black.
No.
This is why the church's air conditioner has been broke since the 1970s.
Ah!
Black. Right, she's handing out MLK fans and shit. Meanwhile, she got AC in her house because she's paying for it with the church bills. Anyway, you guys all said the same thing. You guys all got it correct. She's black. Congratulations on the perfect 3 for 3, y'all. And y'all,
did you go off the screen? You went off the screen.
Oh shit. What? Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. Let me pause the recording. All right, so we're back. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulties in the live chat. But you guys did get it correct that she that person was black. So and I'll put their picture up, and this time hopefully my Chrome doesn't crash. Let's see.
Yeah, it was a cliffhanger for them. They was like, what happened?
Yeah, let's see if we can do this together with the church's secretary here. Oh wait, what happened to her picture? Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Is it showing?
It's moving.
All right. But yeah, man.
Oh yeah.
Over $500,000.
Woo.
Mm-hmm. Now she was that's the only church where the secretary was balling more than the pastor.
Come on.
Like, damn, the secretary got a Benz? I know this church doing good. All right, y'all.
He's like, I tried to go in my pocketbook and get some money for my shoe shine, and I was down $5. Do you know anything about this, dear Joseph?
Nope. By the way, I gotta go. I gotta go and get my Benz repaired. Sword ratchet this time, guys. Sword Ratchetness is, of course, where we go around the globe finding articles to raise awareness of the violence and the chaos that swords cause.
Mm-hmm.
That goes often unnoticed in a time where we, are trying to fight against guns and all kinds of stuff. In this case, a man is accused of using a long sword in an armed robbery. A 63-year-old Palm Bay man is accused of using a long sword in an armed robbery back in October 2019, according to Brevard County arrest affidavit. Eddie Emmanuel St. Cloud, guess the race.
White.
Black.
Oh, black? Ooh, I got that wrong.
Is facing charges of robbery with a deadly weapon and aggravated battery. Police say around 1:30 a.m. when nothing good is happening outside, a 48-year-old man told officers he was at a house when he was attacked. The victim told police his wallet and phone was stolen from him. During the investigation at the Palm Bay ER room, police say the victim had multiple lacerations and bruises to his face and arms. The victim told police he was driving home from downtown Melbourne and a woman asked him if he could give her a ride home. Prostitution. Court records show the victim told police that he asked the woman if he could use her bathroom once he drove her to the house. The victim said three men were waiting for him outside of the restroom. One of the men waiting for him was named Zoe. He was later identified as Eddie St. Cloud. St. Cloud was armed with a 4-foot long sword. The victim was told to take off his clothes and give the three men this money, according to the court records. He said the men took his phone, his wallet, his car keys. Investigators said one of the men took the chain from his wallet and wrapped it around their fist and hit the victim multiple times. The victim told investigators he was able to escape and get to the house of a neighbor. During the attack, the victim said St. Cloud held the sword to his neck as well as his chest. This sounds like some prostitution gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you nigga was out here doing Good Samaritan shit at 1:30 in the morning, taking women to their house. Sound like you thought you was gonna get some, and then you walked out and found out you got set up.
It sounds like Justin back in the day. He used to walk around with a sword, right?
Yeah, I know. You can kind of tell, you know. You can always tell sword people, man. They got something about them that's just a little bit off. The victims,
they got the darkness in their eyes.
Mm-hmm. The victim's Dodge Ram was also stolen. The vehicle was found at Castaway Point. Health officials told police the victim suffered a right orbital bone fracture and nasal bone fractures. Investigators went to the house of the attack and found the sword used in the attack in the shed. A man at the house told police St. Cloud put the weapons in the shed. The man told police the victim owed St. Cloud $150. Oh, so this is a setup. Police said they also found the victim's clothes and there was a fair amount of blood on him. Damn. They set his ass up, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You owe Zoe some money, man. You need to go ahead and pay up for he.
Go ahead and pay Zoe.
Set you up. Think you, like Marion Barry, think you about to get some. And then this nigga like, well, my 150, boy. Like, oh no. What's this? Put the sword down. Oh man. Well, listen, guys. Brandon, where can the people find you? And where can they check out Drunk Black History?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I already told the people when you wanted your little hiatus, but y'all can follow me at American Collins on all social media platforms. You can come up to Drunk Black History on Saturday, February 29th at Caveat in Lower East Side, 21A Clinton Street, Saturday, February 29th, 9 p.m. Get tickets at AmericanCollins.com. And also check out my podcast, Medium Popcorn Niggas Spoiling Movies, with my friend Justin Brown, where we spoil movies every week. And if you sign for Patreon, we spoil movies like every other day. So please sign up and, follow the podcast.
Boom. And that's how it's done. Y'all getting out of here perfectly at the 2-hour mark before we get cut off by Crowdcast. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate you, Brandon. We really,
thank you.
Rooting for you out there. And shout out to Gordon Bacon Bone. Tell him we say hi. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.